Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Ari Temkin's coming up at 4:20. We'll talk to him about Soresby in college football, the Big 12 storylines. Sands coming up at 4:40. He'll give you the preview and react to what happened this afternoon in the Frisco Rough Riders game. Seager and Langford both active. There's Spores news as well. We'll get Sands here coming up at 4:40. Pregame at 6 o'clock, Rangers Cardinals. It's time now for a hodgepodge, and here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Plenty to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
I think this might be the greatest sideline report of all time. I'd like to take you to the world of college softball, where we have game one of the College World Series tonight.
Longhorns
versus Tech. That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a Texas Longhorn softball player, Hannah Wells, that has an interesting superstition. Here is Holly Rowe.
I have some sources in the Texas dugout who have given me an incredible story on Hannah Wells. She has a superstition dating back to childhood that if she sees a ladybug, she eats it for good luck, swallows it whole.
What?
And so I was told that at the SEC tournament in Kentucky, she had a nice home run and she had ingested a ladybug before that. So this is a superstition. I have this on two different sources in that Texas dugout. What a cute and weird superstition.
I don't know how cute it is. Shooting it's a little weird. Violent.
How often do you think it happens?
It's a good question because I that was going to be a follow up of like, is she out? Is she sort of hunting ladybugs? Yeah. Can she source them? Does she go somewhere? Is there some kind of ladybug store? I mean, you remember Lloyd Christmas had I Got Worms. Like, is there an I Got Ladybug store that she can just go snatch up some ladybugs before a big game,
cheating.
Before a big moment? Or, yeah, do you just have to let the game come to you and hope that a ladybug makes an appearance? Like, how often are we seeing ladybugs out there?
It is strange.
It's not very often. This time of year, more often?
Yes, summer more often, agreed. It's spring.
I feel like we've had an uptick of them recently because you have little girls around the house. They're going to spot a ladybug and be like, oh, my goodness. See, if it was roly-polies, I feel like you find roly-polies all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's like shooting fish in a barrel.
That's kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
Do you think the ladybug's kind of somewhat crunchy, right?
I would think.
Absolutely. They have that exoskeleton.
Yeah, I think.
That's what I think it'll get stuck in your throat. The little wings.
Yeah.
The little
sharp
legs.
Edges.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, you can't breathe. You can't take a big inhale, you know, before.
Yeah, you're right, because when they on you, I tend to
you give a flick
them, flick, and they fly, because they're solid.
They
so,
are.
So, yeah, that's where I would, I think I'd pull the wings off and eat that thing, though.
Jeez.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I guess this could be a bad payoff, potentially.
For a superstition? That if you feel like that's...
If you swallow it whole, is there potential that it's flying around in your guts?
Well, it gives you superpowers.
No, it's dead. That acid's knocking
it's dead upon by the time it gets to your belly button, by the time it gets to your collarbone.
Yeah, the acid just destroys them.
But it does give you superpowers. That's why she hits home runs. They call her the ladybug for a reason.
If I'm a teammate, I believe I'm catching them. We're going to get a little bug home that you can get at like... you know, the nature department of the tractor supply store or something like that.
I think it'd be easier finding crickets.
Yeah.
I think if she said, oh, she eats a crickets and stuff like that, would be a little bit
more disgusting.
That's too much.
Well,
yeah.
A little bit easier to find.
She's swallowing these things whole.
There's no chew.
Like, she's not chewing on the ladybug. She's just popping that. She's popping it like a pill, basically. Just getting that thing right
this
down.
This can't happen very often.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to crunch it. That'd be unsettling.
Yeah, the random time right a ladybug lands on her jersey, she just pops it and eats it.
I just want to know who the dad is, the legendary dad that told his daughter that, and she ran with it her whole life.
What if a ladybug gets on another teammate?
She you got to eat it.
You got to grab it off the teammate's jersey and then pop it in your mouth?
Yeah.
It's bringing good vibes.
You just go right up to it, lip to skin. Pop it right in there.
Suck that thing right off the arm.
You
know? But this is pretty next level, I would say, in terms of the superstitions.
Yes.
Not one that I have seen before. Ladybugs bring some level of luck in the minds of certain people, but never to the extent of actually eating them.
Well, I mean, I would remind you of the story of Miles Michaelis, the former Rangers pitcher who was struggling. He went on to the Cardinals and found great success, I would call it, for 4 or 5 years. Guy's nickname was the Lizard King because one day in the minors, there was a lizard in the dugout, and then he ate that son of a gun.
You're kidding me.
Was it alive?
I think it was $100.
Yeah. He needed the money, I guarantee
That's
it.
That's gross.
That's how you get salmonella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. Miles, I bet you won't eat that lizard for $100.
I mean, you could die from eating some of these creatures.
Mm-hmm. We need to get this girl to the podium, though, so that we can pepper her with a bunch of questions here.
For sure.
You know, how did this start? Who was the one? You know, did you just take it upon yourself to eat the ladybug, or was it the dad who encouraged it? Has this ruined relationships romantically over the course of your life? As boyfriends discover that you eat ladybugs on a relatively regular basis? Or do they think it's badass? Because when you do it, you go out there and you strike gold at the plate.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's insane, dude.
It is.
So salute to her, man.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of questions, maybe some fan participation. I'm expecting ladybug signs at the championship game tomorrow.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
A ladybug mascot costume.
And it's only a matter of time before PETA gets involved.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they can shut this thing down quickly, or at least try to.
Are insects considered animals?
I think they're considered...
I think they're in the animal kingdom.
Yeah. They're one of God's creatures. That's all I know.
And nobody, like, is the ladybug is seemingly the most harmless of all of the creatures. Like, no one's ever been like, oh my gosh, this stupid ladybug just won't get away from me.
No.
Oh my, yeah, like,
they're chill.
We love ladybugs.
Yeah.
So,
they're beautiful.
There's no real reason. You know, if she was eating mosquitoes or something, we'd be like, thank you, doing the Lord's work. Eat as many as you can, find them, kill them. Crush them, whether it brings good luck or not.
I don't know why I waited so long to bring this up, but I used to eat mayflies. I think, you know, that's one of the names for them. Hmm. The things that are kind of like mosquitoes, but they have long legs or something between a daddy long legs and,
and
a mosquito.
Yes. You used to eat these?
Well, at parties, you know.
Oh,
it was
your party trick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So man, they'd be like, oh my God, is it a bug? I'd be like, oh, cool. You know? Anybody else have a bug eating experience?
Hell no.
Like running marathons and stuff. Like I'd be out on a jog.
I know you used to rub them on your nipples.
They would fly to your mouth.
Yeah, like gnats.
Your face was like a windshield.
Yeah, gnats
on a road
trip. You're trying to breathe, and then like mosquitoes would fly into your mouth. Yeah.
Oh, that's gross.
And then you're like,
insane, dude.
And you're trying to, get it off the back of your
tongue. I also wonder if this is something that took place while she was in the womb, and maybe mom ate ladybugs, and so she just came out with
craving.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of a craving for it.
Okay, check this out. How long do you think the average adult ladybug's lifespan is?
Give me 18 months.
Okay.
I was going to say 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. You're going 5 years for a ladybug.
I mean,
how about 18
I don't really know
minutes.
The bug lifespan.
How about 18 minutes?
This is a blind spot.
See, that's what I thought I was going to get. Like 18 minutes, 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah.
I was surprised they live up to a year.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Really? They go up to a full 12 months. How much baby making are ladybugs doing to keep their existence? Can you look that up? Could you Google that on the work computer? How often do ladybugs shebang?
How often do ladybugs mate? Okay, their entire lifespan is like 3 years. They're little grubs, and they're hibernating, and they're, you know. So
I would have never guessed that.
A female ladybug typically lays around 300 to 1,000 eggs in her lifetime.
Wow. Okay.
They lay about 300 to 1,000 eggs. Somewhere in between there.
The most common figure is 1,000.
Okay.
Well, that's what it says.
I'm just
reporting the information.
So
it's
ChatGPT.
This is not ChatGPT.
Multiple times through the spring and summer. They're getting it on.
Wow, dude.
Producing a lot of like love. Rabbits, man.
Love is in the air. All right, so is the NBA Finals. Lucius, did you see Pat McAfee is going to be leading an alternate presentation for game number 3 of the NBA Finals? We have a Pat McAfee altcast like we get in the college football. I think they're going to be doing the Super Bowl as well because it's going to be on ESPN this year. But now he's going to be doing a little bit in the finals. Little McAfee
will
cast.
He be there? I need Mac there.
I believe he will be.
Okay.
From my understanding, they are sort of like maybe boxing out Stephen A. Smith to some extent, who's usually all over their all of their coverage, but especially their basketball coverage. I'm not seeing him anywhere. As they list out all the different ways you can consume,
did they get rid of him and Mike Wilbon doing that stuff.
Wilbon,
yeah,
Wilbon.
I bet they'll still be part of the pregame festivities and postgame.
Yeah, I don't see their names listed here. Maybe like on the postgame sports centers and stuff. But McAfee, who is slowly becoming the face of ESPN, it looks like he's getting a little bit of NBA Finals opportunity here. So that'll be interesting. I've never seen it in a basketball format because they're usually like down on the field in football. Where's it going to be posted up?
Three on the bench and three on one side, three on the other?
He's probably just going to be sitting next to old Chalamet, you know, and Ben Stiller. Just chopping it up with those fellas.
No, they're going to sell those seats.
I'd maybe put him in the tunnel.
He's not going to be courtside?
He's paying for him.
Okay, that's fine. He's going
to
be there.
Can we find a spot for him to stand? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You put one in one end of the floor and the other on the other. You put two and two, you know how they...
There's just a lot of traffic underneath the hoop.
Well, they're sitting down on the front row. They're on the front row. They have seats. They're basically
okay.
They're like in the Mark Cuban seat. Yeah. Okay. Or our sweaty owner from
maybe
the
at the press table. Maybe
what's the sweaty owner's name?
Maybe they're sweaty Ballmer. Owner of the Clippers. Yeah, Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer has seats right there in that pit area, right?
Yeah, he's right.
Oh,
up.
Yeah, he's in the pit.
He's right in the mix.
Yeah. So. That'd be cool to go see a game there.
Do you think McAfee would sit for an entire game and just chill there? No, he's going to be up. He's going to be pacing the sideline. I need to give him a little bit of room to operate.
I know. That's what I'm thinking here. So
maybe get hit by Wimby coming off the court. Something, you know, like diving for a ball,
take an elbow or something. An angry Wimby elbow.
Yeah.
But part of the fun was like he and his buddies are just behind the end zone and they're kind of like hitting each other and just kind of goofing off,
right?
Watching the game. So. I gotta create that small group of guys vibe.
And he's always got the like other football people, you know, that will kind of rotate through the coverage. All of a sudden, Nick Saban could make an appearance or Tim Tebow could make an appearance during a college football thing. Like, will there be some NBA voices that are helping give the analysis, right? Mm. Like, I mean, he obviously has the football acumen to some extent, being the punter, being around it, he gets it. But he still surrounds himself with football dudes. The A.J. Hawks of the world, the Darius Butlers of the world. So, like, who will be that alongside him from an NBA standpoint that can actually give
he's got any Pacer
some
buddies,
level of
right?
real analysis?
He's got Pacer buddies,
that's true. Halliburton,
they've got Pacer buddies.
I mean, he has Perkins on the show a lot.
Does Halliburton still have the shingles, though? I mean, he's going to be up there just stressing and scratching? That's a fair question to ask.
I would go with Amon Shumpert. He's been one of their guests. Yes. He's fun. He's hot takey.
And he knows ball. He knows championships.
He's got, I mean, you mentioned Kendrick Perkins. He's gone on McAfee. Quentin Richardson, if you remember him from the Darius Miles Clippers. He's got options.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Game 3.
Thank you, Chief. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and we're looking forward to getting Ari Temkin in here, Big 12 Radio. He'll update us on the Brendan Sorsby trial and college football discussion, maybe some tech softball discussion with you as well on the other side. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Jared Sandler is coming up in about 15 minutes or so to preview Game 2 Rangers-Cardinals. The pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, joins us now here on The Fan. And good afternoon, Ari. How the heck are you?
I'm great, General. How are you, buddy?
We're doing awesome here, man. You know, it's exciting, you know, to see all this sports news happening and the Texas Tech softball team and the Longhorn softball team and the collision course. So hopefully you got some thoughts on that for us. But obviously the top story, Brandon Sorsby and the trial there. When do you anticipate we're going to get a court decision on this?
Yeah, it's I think it'll come down fairly quickly. Some of the indications I've seen have been, you know, within the week. You know, there have certainly been, you know, some from the lawyer's side, things that the judge has to go over. But it's probably not as cut and dried as I think people anticipate it to be, because you hear gambling, you hear gambling on his own team, and you think, oh, this will be pretty easy. But I think what the judge here is deciding is sort of between two different things, which is one, you know, does the NCAA, which has been ruled a monopoly by the Supreme Court, have the ability to create rules to govern the sport? And if not, then they can't do that. So therefore, this rule is null and void and the injunction will be granted. The other one is this one of those things that sort of transcends that rule? And in sports, we have to protect the integrity of sports. And therefore, because of that, the injunction will not be granted, regardless of the validity of the rule itself.
So it's possible the judge could decide it's not constitutional for you to block players from betting on their own team?
The way you put it there, yeah, absolutely. And it really goes to the core of the NCAA's argument that it cannot enforce any of its rules because the Supreme Court said that it's a monopoly. And that's really what Jeffrey Kessler and many other lawyers have been after over the last few years since the Supreme Court made that decision, was continuing to strike down, you know, any sanctions or rules that they put in place. And so far, you know, most of the courts have handed the NCAA a bunch of L's when it comes to any of these sorts of rules that they're trying to enforce. And that's been their biggest issue. It's the reason they're, you know, lobbying as much as they have with Congress in order to get something passed that will give them some sort of power in order to, you know, put these rules together. It is sort of ironic in a sense too, Gavin, from the standpoint of the SEC and the Big Ten have already come out with this College Sports Commission, a different rule, and basically said, hey, even though we've established this College Sports Commission, which is going to oversee NIL, we don't agree or abide by these things, and we're not going to participate in these rules. So right now, rules are, with the NCAA, extremely fluid.
Wow. So you think that there's still a good chance here that he plays this year for Tech?
Yeah, no, I think he will. I absolutely think he will. And as we've done our kind of off-season previews over the last few weeks, I'm including Brandon Sorsby as if he's going to play for Texas Tech. Okay. And I understand like how that makes people feel. And if an injunction is granted, I know that there's going to be just a firestorm of media around it. And I'm sure a lot of it will center on this homerism in Lubbock County Court. Now, again, if the NCAA appeals this, it goes to a circuit court in Texas, which is overseen by four different Texas Tech alumni. So it goes deeper than that. But to me, it just boils down to these two sides, guys. It's on one side, you have the NCAA's ability to enforce rules and the continued court system across the country saying you do not have the ability to do that. And that's where the injunction would come in hand. Or the other side of that, again, which is transcending all of this, is just the importance of, you know, the integrity of our sports. And this is the way the NCAA laid it out. Basically, if this injunction is granted, this would be the first time in American pro sports that somebody's been able to bet on the league they're playing in and continue to play in said league.
What do you estimate the chances are, Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, that you're wrong believing Sorsby will be eligible?
I mean, I'd say it's probably 50-50, but I'm not a lawyer. Sometimes I occasionally try to play one on the radio. I think so. To me, General, it comes down to, you know, Brandon Sorsby didn't hire Jeffrey Kessler as much as Jeffrey Kessler hired Brandon Sorsby. And I think he saw this opportunity to continually strike down, you know, these antitrust laws, or, sorry, these laws, the rules the NCAA is making through antitrust means. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think, like, most of the discourse I've heard nationally on this is nobody really wants him to play. I think seems pretty cut and dried in terms of just how, like, we as a society view this sort of thing. And, like, you bet on your own sport, you bet on your own team, you can't play anymore. And, You know, so I imagine if this injunction is granted, it's going to create quite the storm and the stir. And if he plays in games, like, he's going to be enemy number one. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, Texas Tech has embraced that. It's happened in softball to them, and it's going to happen in football, the way in which they're, you know, really, you know, ruffling some feathers in recruiting. But no, in terms of, am I likely to be wrong? I guess, of course, I'd throw a 50-50 shot there, but I think it's, again, pretty cut and dried in terms of, you know, the NCAA doesn't have the ability to enforce its own rules because it was viewed as a monopoly, and this is one of those rules.
I love it. Ari Temkin here with you on The Fan. So how is this different from MLB's antitrust exemption that allows it to operate as a legal monopoly?
Right, and NBA or NFL, the big difference is there is the collective bargaining agreement, and that is what many people have been calling for. To me, it's the only fix towards establishing rules and guidelines that both sides have to follow. And that is the way that all pro sports get out of being a monopoly, is the collective bargaining agreement. And so what you have is, on one side, the entire enforcement arm coming up with these rules. And even now, like today, as they meet with Congress and try to get all these bills passed through Congress and their lobbying efforts, they're not even including the dialogue with, you know, with student athletes in on this stuff. So, like, they continually missed the boat here in terms of trying to figure out a common ground, and that's what led to all these lawsuits and all these losses. And, you know, look, I think collective bargaining would be extremely messy. It would not be easy. I think it would not benefit the players. I think this current situation benefits the players far more than a collective bargaining situation would. But the reality of the situation, guys, is there have been 40 bills that have been raised and written in either the House of Representatives or Congress, and none of those bills have gotten out of committee hearings. So, like, all these millions of dollars that have been spent by the NCAA on lobbying efforts, you know, everything, all the time they've spent lobbying Congress, all these bills that have been written and ballyhooed, none of them have made it out of committee, guys, let alone made it to the floor to be voted on. So there's very little progress being made. And, you know, again, as a monopoly, as viewed as a monopoly from the Supreme Court, they've got to figure out a way to collectively bargain rules. And I think ultimately that's what they're going to have to settle on. But it's going to take some time because they just do not want to view athletes as employees. And I get it, but it's probably the only way to create a salary cap, to create rules that will govern the sport and, you know, create a little bit of, you know, a little bit less of the confusion that's going on right now in the, you know, in college sports, because it in many ways is a disaster.
Hey, Ari, this is your stupid question of the day for me.
What's up, Broadus?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you about, you know, what we're going on here, what we're talking about with the...
Sorsby?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to ask about the identity.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Yeah, the identity. I'm not going to ask you about the identity of Tech right now or their softball team. But they keep talking about a commissioner. They keep talking about a Nick Saban. How close are we to this? Is that something that could help? Could it make things a little bit more stable as opposed to what we're going through right now?
You know, I would say short answer would be no. And the reason for that is because, you know, you've got Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, and you've got Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, and you've got all these, you know, commissioners, and those two in particular are the ones in power. And they talk about wanting to do what's in the best interest of the sport. They talk about wanting to do what's in the best interest of college athletics, but they don't. They want what's in their own best self-interest. And it's hard to argue against that because they're all, as commissioners of these leagues and stewards of those leagues, looking out for the leagues themselves and their own viability and survivability. And so, like, the latest thing we talked about with this college sports commission, right? So millions of dollars were spent to establish this college sports commission and this, you know, essentially algorithm that deals are plugged into, and then they, through the algorithm, decide the legitimacy of those deals, meaning they're paying X for Y action, and are they actually doing it, and is this an actual viable deal? Well, many of these schools, particularly brought us in the SEC, promised money against NIL deals that they then co-wrote or underwrote, I should say, with the Learfield Sports, with a Playfly, you know, with essentially their media partners. And what the College Sports Commission has said is that is not a viable NIL deal. And so you have a bunch of SEC schools that have promised all these dollars to these players that will be funded through Playfly or Learfield that are no longer based on the CSC going to be able to be funded. So this is a long way to say that now the SEC has come out and say, well, we may leave this not even, you know, ascribed to the rules of the CSC and basically create our own rules, so that they have superseded any sort of goodwill rules that exist around, you know, around fair play, to say, well, because this doesn't work for us, and even though we spent a bunch of money to establish this, and even though we've said we want to do this, we don't actually want to do it. And so I think, like, again, like, nobody really wants this. Everybody just wants to be able to use the money they have to put together the most lucrative teams and you know, and make money and obviously win championships. And so, you know, again, it sounds great for Nick Saban or somebody to be a commissioner. I think it all starts with collective bargaining. And then at some point you have to put together kind of a system in place that's sustainable for a playoff. And then you probably get to a commissioner at that point in time. But to me, it sort of, the commissioner is in a sense sort of the last hire, because it's all backwards. And again, not as much as they might say it publicly, none of them actually want rules. They only want other people to have rules.
Yeah. Well, all right, what about last week, what we saw with Kirby Smart talking about Georgia will take their ball and go somewhere else? Is he just being Kirby Smart? What's going on with, are teams really believing that they can go out on their own and be Notre Dame-like or BYU-like? Well, I know BYU is now in the Big 12, but BYU wasn't independent for a bit.
Yeah, and I think, Broadus, I think a lot of SEC schools were playing into the Sankey comments about, like, not, you know, again, not wanting to play ball through this College Sports Commission bylaws. So it started there, basically, with Sankey coming out and being like, oh, yeah, we can create our own league, and we don't have to, you know, we'll create our own system and, you know, our own rules, and we'll govern ourselves. And, I mean, basically, that is what the Supreme Court said the conferences had to do, that together as an NCAA, all these conferences are a monopoly, but individually, if they create rules and govern themselves, that is not a monopoly. And so I think they're sort of using that as leverage to try to get what they want. In terms of Georgia, I mean, yeah, sure. Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, like, there's certainly some brands in college sports that could go independent and, you know, make more money than they're making right now. I mean, think about it from Notre Dame's perspective, that you might look at their TV money and think it pales in comparison to the SEC and the Big Ten, and it does on spec. But when Notre Dame makes the playoffs, they get money for every round they advance the playoffs, like they did a couple of years ago when they played the national championship game, and they don't have to share any of that money with the rest of the conference as the SEC does, the Big Ten does. So ultimately, they have much more upside. So yeah, I could absolutely see a Georgia or a Texas or an Ohio State or a Michigan, you know, quote unquote, taking their ball and going home and you know, joining their, you know, creating their independent league conference, independent league schedule, and playing that and doing fine. But there's few and far between brands that can actually do that and thrive in that world.
Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio. Terrific report, man. We'll catch up with you soon, and have a great week.
Take care, guys. Be well.
Yeah, salute to you. No disrespect to Texas and Texas Tech softball. It was a historic day. We salute them. Championships start tomorrow night. Stars have made the shops at Willow Bend move official, or as we learned when we were up there last month at Mexican Bar Company, it's just going to be known as Willow Bend now. The shops have gone away. Those restaurants remain, but they're going to build the Stars' new HQ there. So back-to-back days, we're getting relocation news from the AAC tenants. Jared Sandler joins us next. Preview Rangers cards in the.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Great conversation with Ari Temkin about the Brendan Sorsby situation. I mean, he was hot taking. He was dropping knowledge. He thinks Sorsby is going to play. If you're a Tech fan and you want fuel for that, you want to jump back with the Odyssey app right now. Go to about 4:25 when Ari Temkin joined us. I think you're going to like what you hear. We also just had the news. The Stars have made their move to Willow Bend official there, just north of the Bush on the toll. Yesterday, the news, the Mavs are moving to 635 and the toll, basically. Yeah, 635 and the toll. So we got teams moving north, and hopefully, you know, for whatever inconvenience that it creates, we get more
amenities, convenience, new and great. I always liked the old stadiums, though.
Yeah.
I think I'm not alone. Like, I'll deal with some lack of convenience for feeling the history, knowing this is the building that those guys did those things. Mm-hmm. There's more value in that as a fan to me than all the modern amenities combined. Jared Sandler joining us now here on The Fan, and a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, big news. Things definitely changing in the Metroplex.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, this sports world evolving significantly over the last 25 hours. Now, how much is the Seager-Langford story evolving with them doing some rehab work this afternoon in Frisco? Looks like both of them had some pretty good success.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing, they came out healthy. I think, you know, the company line is, we'll reevaluate tomorrow. They're not going to be in St. Louis tomorrow. That has been confirmed, but I do think this weekend is a possibility. I think some of it has to do with how they feel tomorrow and whatever's next. You know, I think it's possible they each have another rehab, you know, game. The Rangers are off on Thursday, so after tomorrow, the next game wouldn't be until Friday. So, you know, sometimes with guys, you want to see, hey, how do they respond after back-to-back, right? So what happens, you know, if you run them back out there tomorrow, how will they respond? And maybe you can match up the off day Thursday and get them back out there Friday, or maybe it's just later this weekend. But I definitely think that, you know, the road trip in Kansas City will have both of them. Whether or not it comes before then, I guess we'll probably know more tomorrow.
Jared, what narrative would you attach to this four-game winning streak? I'll just throw one out. It's the ups and downs of about a 500 team.
Yeah, I think, Gavin, that's fair. I mean, they obviously have an opportunity to kind of push past that, and just like they have an opportunity, or opportunity is probably not the right word, the burden of potentially falling below that, right? But until they prove otherwise, I think that's fair. Now, you know, what have we seen? I think you've seen a team that has evolved a little bit in their ability and willingness to execute offense without the home run ball. That gives you maybe a little, you know, what you would like to believe is a little more consistency, because you're tapping into different ways to score. I think you're seeing a team that's playing better defense and the value of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it all comes back to the starting pitcher. You know, we talked ad nauseum this offseason how this team's identity was built around its starting pitching. And by name, nothing's changed. By, you know, actual, you know, production, I don't know that that's really been the case this year. The starting pitching has been fine, but the starting pitching hasn't been as good as I think people expected. Well, here we are, four-game winning streak, and you know, the Rangers starters have not given up a run in 27 innings, one of the longest streaks in franchise history. So you're seeing a team that is now once again, revolting. We expected to be the strongest, part of the tripod.
We got to have Ezekiel Duran on earlier, and I mean, look, he's second on the team in RBIs. He's been fantastic now in relief, and when you talk about getting Langford back, Seager back, whenever Josh Smith is ready, I think that clearly, and Skip said it yesterday in the pregame, Zeke's earned everyday playing time now. What do you think about the season he's having? And I guess it's tough to say this is sustainable, but it does seem like he's kind of, maybe things have clicked for him.
Yeah, I think there's certain guys, Zach, And you see this a lot of times with the young guys, when they are playing sporadically, it's tougher for them to find a rhythm. And then who knows mentally how that impacts them, right? Like, gosh, you know, I really got to win the game today, or I got to have a great game to be in the lineup the next day. Now, you know, chicken or the egg, maybe, because, you know, as easy as it would be for someone to hear that and say, why didn't you just start playing them every day sooner? Well, he really wasn't earning it, right? You know, you still have to earn it. And he did have some stretches where he would get regular-ish playing time, and it didn't look like this. He has no doubt earned, you know, the right to be in the lineup. And thanks to his versatility, it's not going to be hard to find ways to put him in the lineup. I think what stood out the most, his ability to deliver with runners in scoring position, he's the best on the team in that regard. His two-out hitting that's not necessarily, I don't know that that's necessarily so much a skill as it is a stat, if that makes sense. But at the end of the day, the ability to prolong innings, the ability to, you know, to demoralize a team by getting a hit or driving a run like he did yesterday with two outs, you know, that goes a long way. He's a guy we saw in 2023, can drive the ball, right? He's not a noodle bat hitter. And we just hadn't seen that the last couple of years. And then the other thing, too, defensively, you know, he adds for this team, and on the bases he adds for this team. We talked about this is not going to be the team that wins the most athletic team in Major League Baseball award. So when you get a guy like Ezekiel Duran who's able to be a part of the equation and get on base, that does add your add to your versatility and allows Skip Schumacher to be creative because he's got another athlete on the bases.
Jared, Evaldi on the hill tonight. Can we keep this streak going? Can we make the record?
Need to, right? First of all, by the way, guys, how crazy is it? The Rangers, if you know, they're tied for a playoff spot right now. I mean, like, the eye test, record aside, you just, like, watch the 60 games. You're like, nah, yeah, not, I mean, not a playoff team. Maybe you see some signs. It's just crazy how, you know, muddy down the American League is. Hey, you need – we said this last night. You can talk about DeGrom and Evaldi through different lenses, right? Maybe they're streak stoppers. Maybe they're streak starters or they're streak extenders. Whatever the case is, when those guys are on the mound, I would say you feel like you should win three out of every four games. And, you know, that just hasn't necessarily been the case. And so you got DeGrom last night, career win 100, gets the streak to four. Now you want to see, hey, it doesn't get any easier for the other guys because now they got to face Nathan Evaldi. He puts his foot down, and now we get a five-game winning streak. And, you know, that's the danger, and I mean danger in a good way. Why a team with this can be dangerous because you get these guys on a roll, and now you give the offense a little wiggle room to get going, and, you know, you have the ability to get on a run.
How about Dustin May? How's this guy doing? He went to my alma mater.
Yeah, no, well, you went to – to Justin, was it Northwest, right?
Yeah.
Northwest High School, yeah. You know, it's funny, he was talking to the media yesterday, and he was saying how much of an honor it is to get a chance to start against the team that Eric Chiafalo roots for.
Yeah.
he said that, you know, you are a legend.
Yeah.
Your organic way of living, and all your views and beliefs he admires.
Yeah.
He's actually got a little Eric Chiafalo Joe Budol in his locker. So, he knows you're going to be watching. He just hopes that he can make you proud. By that, I know that means, you know, giving up seven runs to the Rangers in two innings.
Amen.
We'll drink to that, dude. All right, have a great night, Sands. Let's do it again tomorrow.
See you, fellas.
Let's go. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must-follow for Rangers fans everywhere. The finale tomorrow, another 6 o'clock pregame with a 6:45 first pitch. Then off Thursday, we're coming back with the finest chief.
Yeah, more on Myles Garrett and a potential Aaron Donald return. Plus, is Tom Brady reaching or preaching next in the nation?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.